This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a conversation about faith. And on this program, our passion is to explore faith and its transformative power in the lives of believers. We like to interview people on this show who are willing to share their faith journey. How did they come to faith? And when did they first know and experience the living God? We'll also discuss some of our favorite scriptures and stories found in the Bible. You can now download our podcast to this program. We're on iTunes, or you can hear them all on the WCHV.com website. Last week, we had a great program. We had my good friend Bill Wilson. If you didn't have a chance to listen to that program, we walked through Romans chapter 5. It's a really powerful testimony of what's going on in Bill's life, a man of great faith. We also have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com, and we truly appreciate your comments and encouragements, and we welcome your prayer requests. Please keep them coming. Well, today on the show, we have everyone's favorite teacher, Barbara Pemberton. We'll talk with Barb about her faith journey, and we'll also honor her sister, Sue Sauer, as we talk about faith during 9/11. Before we do that, I want to read to you today's victory verses from Everyday Faith Radio. The first one, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll just make a little comment on that. Is fixing our eyes on Jesus is something that's been very important to me, especially during tough times in life. And I encourage you to revisit that verse. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Next verse comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, declares the Lord. And lastly, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 51 and 52. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Barbara Pemberton about her faith journey, and a little bit later we'll get to faith and 9/11. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Junior League of Charlottesville has announced the 2014 Fall Community Grants period is now underway. Local nonprofit organizations are encouraged to take advantage of this chance to apply for a Junior League grant of up to $2,500. The deadline is September 19th. The Blue Knights are co-sponsoring the third annual Evan Adams Benefit Memorial Ride on September 20th. The ride will start from the Courthouse Cafe and Pub on West Main Street in Louisa. On September 20th, the Orange County Parks and Rec is sponsoring the Liberty Ride. It's an 11-mile horseback ride trail starting at James Madison's Mount Pelier home. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at wkav.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and thank you so much for joining us this Sunday morning. Our guest on the program today, Barbara Pemberton. And Barbara, I have to tell you, as I travel around town, and you know that my wife is the principal of the Covenant Lower School, as I travel around town, I'm kind of in that teaching arena, if you will, and I ask people, who is your all-time favorite teacher? And I hear again and again, Miss Pemberton, Miss Pemberton. I think if I held a contest in this greater Charlottesville area, who is everybody's favorite teacher? It's you. And I want to say thank you for your service to many years to all the children in Central Virginia that you've taught. And thank you for being on the show.
You're so welcome. I'm glad to be here.
We like to start with the faith journey. If you could, for our listeners, could you kind of take us on your faith journey?
Well, I was raised in a household where my father was Catholic and my mom was Lutheran. And when she married my dad, she pretty much told him, since the wife does most of the teaching, I'm going to raise the children Lutheran, if that's okay with you. And my dad was totally supportive. He went to church on Sunday, ushered, was very involved, and we went to church and Sunday school every Sunday, and anytime we had anything, Dad was always there. So it was never, which religion is better, which church we go to. We were just raised Lutheran. And, went to Sunday school every Sunday, like I said, confirmed the whole thing. And I always thought, something happened to one of my parents that I would die. Well, my dad was killed by a drunk driver in 1976. And at the time, I was 26. And, I truly thought that I would die. And then when I didn't, I kept praying to God. And I said, why did you do this? But what do you want from me? And he wanted me to go on. And I did. And I was just so surprised that I could. It's like you put one foot in front of the other. Mm. And it was kind of at that point in time, I remember standing in the shower and crying out to God saying, I need you. Help me get through this. And he did. And that was kind of when I had this awakening that, wow, this is not about me. It's not even about my dad. It's about what is to come. Mm. And God was there, and he's been there every step of the way for my entire life. But it was definitely apparent there. And then when I lost my sister, I kept saying, and I've told people over and over again, I never, ever could have gotten through it if I didn't have faith in God. Mm. And I didn't know that she was with him. So, in terms of faith journey, it's grown. When I left public education, I was going to church and everything else, and I knew I was called to go to Covenant. Your wife called me, but God also called me, and my faith grew even stronger. And I think part of it was because of the daily devotions that teachers mm-hmm. have there, and also the time spent in chapel. We pray before every class there. It was just in the strong sense of community. So whatever it was, my faith grew at Covenant too. Yeah. And, so now I just feel like, wow, it's transformed in the last, 5 years. And, before that, it's just getting stronger and stronger. It's a wonderful thing.
Let's go back, if I may, ask about when you experienced the death of your father. And it seems like on this show, and we've talked to others who've been on the program who've gone through a really tough time, and they face something that they didn't think they could handle. We've had others that have gone through loss, whether it's a child or whatever the circumstances is. But it seems like one of the commonalities that we find is that during that weakest moment, that God steps in and gives you the strength, as you said, to just kind of put one foot in front of the other. And God is able to, during our weakest moment, to give us this kind of supernatural strength to do what we didn't think we'd be able to do.
Right. It was really powerful and amazing. And I think because I saw other people around me, other family members who were teetering, on the edge of just going off and sitting in a corner and not wanting to come back from that corner, I knew that somebody had to kind of step up. And I just kept saying, Mom or Joe or whatever, it was Dad's time. No matter whether he had been sitting in the living room or he had been somewhere else, it was his time. God needed him more than we did here on earth. So that's how I got through it. Mm-hmm. I knew that God wanted me to be there for the other people in my family who not were doubting, but just needed that extra push. And like I said, it helped me every day. You know, it helped me put one step in front of the other, mm-hmm. and I was able to go on and do what I needed to do and, you know, instill that same faith in my children.
It reminds me of a verse. I love Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that goes like this. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And it sounds to me, as we hear that, kind of the different things that have happened in your life, it seems like the main thing that was you were able to trust the Lord, that you were able to say, okay, it's not my way. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Is I may not know what's exactly going on, Lord, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to see me through, and I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to stay in your word, mm-hmm. and I know that you'll make my path straight.
Right. It is one of those things that's so beyond our control, and we have to have faith in something. And mm-hmm. I've often said I feel so sorry for people who don't have faith, because I don't know how they make it through the bad times. You know, right. It's easy to make it through the good times. We all have good times, and mm-hmm. we aren't grateful enough, and we aren't appreciative enough. But when we go through tough times, wow, it's just hard to find this inner strength. And it's not, again, about you. It's about him and saying, please help me, Lord. I need you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what leads me to the question we like to ask on the show. What would you say to anybody, any of our listeners who they haven't really gotten faith yet? They've explored it, and maybe they just haven't really been able to tune into it yet, but they just haven't experienced the grace of the Lord. What would you say to them that are just trying to get a relationship, trying to find their faith? What would you say to those listeners?
Probably, to me, the best thing would be to go to someone who does have faith and sit and talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and let them share what it is about faith that leads them in their actions and their feelings towards other people. Read scripture, go to church, go somewhere. For me, music is a huge thing. And, you know, when I sit and listen, like I said, at chapel, at Covenant, listen to the children sing. Oh my goodness. It is the best day of the week for me to listen to these sweet, innocent children singing praise to God. So they need to put themselves in a place where they see other believers mm-hmm. and they can hear other believers share their stories. I mean, I think you can get a lot from other people building you up and then going home and praying and just saying, okay, God, you know, I know you're out there. How do I do this?
Yes.
How do I find you?
Yeah.
What, give me some ideas and then sit back and wait for him to come to you.
That's great advice from Barbara Pemberton, everybody's favorite teacher. Barbara, before we take a break, I want to ask, are there any Bible verses that are kind of go-to verses for you, or are there any verses that you kind of tend to lean on?
Well, actually, at my sister's funeral, Psalm 121 was read by one of my boys, and I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. And then towards the end, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Powerful words.
Powerful. And exactly what I needed to hear today. And I'm hoping that some of our listeners that will touch them as well. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 9/11 and the impact that's had on your life with the loss of your sister, Sue Sauer. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us. You really want to hear this next part.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy? Oh, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Geez, Dad, how would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. The obsession to gamble causing a problem in your life? Perhaps a loved one or a close friend. Gamblers Anonymous can help. The Gamblers Anonymous Charlottesville chapter meets every Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. at the Thomas Jefferson Unitarian Universalist Church at 717 Rugby Road. To get immediate help, please call 1-434-563-6694. Remember, tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have Barbara Pemberton. And Barbara, I know this is hard to talk about, but I just want to say before we get into it, I think you do an amazing job of remembering your sister, Sue Sauer. And I want to hand it over to you and talk about 9/11 and the events of that day, if you could take us through.
Sure. I was teaching school at that time. I was at Burley Middle School, and I remember the guidance counselor coming down and informing all the teachers very quietly that a plane had flown into the World Trade Center. And my first thought was, this is the kind of thing that every American fears, that someday we'll be attacked. And so, of course, we were all scared to death and worried. And then, maybe within a half an hour, my youngest son, Tim, who was at William & Mary, called me on the phone and he said, "Mom, isn't Aunt Sue in New York this week?" Because my sister lived in Chicago and she traveled to New York about three times a month. And she was there on a business trip. And I said, "Yeah, I think she is." I said, "Why don't you try to call her?" So he tried to call her. My older son, Ryan, who was at Hampton, Sydney, got in the loop and he was trying to call her. We called my mom because she was a widow, you know, and we were trying to figure out whether she had heard from her. And all day long, I kept thinking, why isn't Sue calling Mom? This is ridiculous. I left school and went to give blood. They were full. I couldn't give blood. Called my brother about 5 o'clock, and he was in Milwaukee, and he had called her office in Chicago, who called California, who called New York. And we found out that rather than working in Midtown, where she always worked on these projects she was working on, she needed a larger conference room. And so that morning she left her hotel at 7:30, got in a cab with her suitcase, her purse and everything, and headed down to the World Trade Center. We know that she was on the 99th floor. The plane hit on the 96th floor on the same side of the World Trade Center, the first tower where she was. One of the girls who actually was on vacation, and she said if she had known that Sue was there, she would have come back early because they were working on a project together, told me that based on the room that Sue would have been in, she probably had the drapes closed, getting ready to do her PowerPoint or something at 9 o'clock for her meeting. So we hope she didn't see the plane coming, but we know she would have died instantly, which for us is a blessing. Again, this is, you know, God had a plan for her, and her plan was to leave us on that day. I don't think God had a plan in terms of how terrible, you know, the death would be for her and the other victims, but she wasn't one of those who lived to make a phone call. I'm sure she wasn't one of those who went out of a window. She died. And we were lucky enough because my brother and I flew to New York. Then a week and a half later, her company invited any family members to come. And we talked to people. We talked to a pastor. We talked to a psychologist, other families. It was an amazing thing. And I went down to the site with 7 other people with a plastic bag, and I wanted ashes. Mm. And they said it was a police site, so they couldn't give us any ashes. So I went around to some windowsills and scraped some ashes from the windowsills into a bag because I thought that's all we'd ever have of Sue. Mm. And as it turned out, about a week after we got back, police from Wheaton, Illinois, where I grew up, came to my mom's door and said they found Sue. Mm. And so we were very fortunate. Again, you know, we know she died instantly. Mm-hmm. She was found. It wasn't like a lot of other families who never found their loved ones, or they would find part of them and then later they'd be called and there would be more remains. Mm. So we were very fortunate that way. Sue was truly an amazing woman. When my brother and I got to New York, we went to this hotel that Marsh had arranged for all the family members to come to. And within 10 minutes, there were at least 10 or 15 people who knew Sue. Mm. It was like they came out of the woodwork. And they all came and had the most wonderful stories about her and how she mentored them and how professional she was and how she did things for other people. And she had actually won an award a few years before for being one of the top 100 women. It was an award given by the YWCA, 100 women in American business, and it was because of the things she had done to mentor other people, you know, who were just starting out in the business world. She had written articles for the Wall Street Journal, she'd written articles in insurance magazines and books that we never knew about. She won awards for photography. She never bragged about herself at all. She was very humble. She was the world's best aunt. Tim wanted to go to a golf tournament once, and I said, I can't do it. So she called. Tim called her up and said, Aunt Sue, can you take me? And she said, well, let me get back to you. She took him to the Grand Cayman Islands on the way to Turnberry Isles in Florida to play golf. She was that kind of an aunt. She took the whole family to England to celebrate Ryan's graduation from high school. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But she, even though she was raised a Lutheran, had gone to Catholic Church in Chicago and was working at a food bank there, and so she was buried out of that church, and her ashes were spread in the Seine River in Paris, which is what she had wanted. And so yeah, it we had no idea she was there. I remember going to her condominium right afterwards, that next weekend, and since I had power of attorney until her body was found, it was my job to kind of make sure things were done. And I looked around for any bills that she had to pay because I wanted her credit to be good in case she walked in the door. I was so worried about her having bad credit. And then, of course, you know, we knew very shortly that she wasn't coming back. And that was, of course, the worst part, except that we knew she was with God and she was with Dad. And so that gave us a lot of comfort.
I listening to the testimony of your life and the faith, your faith journey, and when you, as you said earlier, you experienced the death of your father at a young age, and then the death of your sister, and again, it seems like the hardest times in your life, the times when you probably feel like you can't even breathe, you can't even kind of walk down the street, but you can see with you that God is with you, and it's apparent that God has carried you. And I was wondering if you could kind of touch on, did you feel God's presence during those really hard times when you were trying to kind of just get through to tomorrow?
Well, I did, and it's funny because when I think about the time that my brother and I went to New York, I keep thinking, They gave us a pastor. You know, there was a pastor there. And I don't even remember if I spent much time talking to him. But the fact that a pastor was sent to be with us just told me that, you know, somebody's concerned about my faith and that somebody of faith was there to help shore me up. You know, just the presence of somebody of God there was very, very helpful. When I was in Chicago then, because I went several other times, that's where her home was, and I had to deal with a lot of things, I remember just walking and walking and walking and walking all of the streets of Chicago, and I felt like God was holding my hand. Oh, I mean, I really, really sweet. Did. I felt like he was there just saying, you know, okay, let's talk about this, you know, and now what are you going to do, and how are you going to help your mom get through this, and, you know, how, you know, think of some of the things that you and Sue did. And I think about the last time I talked to her on the phone, and I was kind of upset with myself, you know. And I remember when we had to get rid of all of her things. Oh, my goodness. That was one of the worst things. And I beat myself up so many times. Did I get rid of the wrong things? Should I have kept this? Should I have gotten rid of that? And in the end, I thought, you know, they're just material things and conversations we had. You know, we were sisters. And, of course, you're supposed to argue with your sisters and, you know, do different things. But push comes to shove, I loved her so much, and she knew I did, and I know she loved me too, and my boys, and we were just so fortunate. She was truly amazing, and I have a brother who's just now, since my mom's 91, he's taken on, you know, the role of being kind of her caregiver, because she's also in Wisconsin where he is. And I'll tell you what, having family that love each other and support each other, I mean, he would do anything for me and I would do anything mm-hmm. for him. And we got through that together, too.
Mm-hmm. Your family, having a close family when you're going through crisis and hard times, you're able to bear each other's burdens is
right.
kind of
right.
That's what God's word says. Barbara, I want to tell you, you're an answer to a prayer in another sense, because just a couple weeks ago, I was trying to find the verse, but one of the Psalms talks about how God holds your hands, and God will hold your hand, and I actually asked if any of our listeners had ever experienced that, to please send us an email at theeverydayfaithradio@gmail.com. And I kept checking on that particular, hadn't heard anything. And there you go. And there you show us. Yeah. It's just amazing I'm touched of how you have done just such a remarkable job remembering your sister. Now, I'm wondering, it's 13 years later, and I did not lose anybody close to me during 9/11, but I still have the feeling on 9/11 and kind of the build up to 9/11, I still feel like a little bit like a roller coaster. You know, you're going up and then you're back down, and you don't really get, you're like, wow, I don't, mm-hmm. and I can't imagine how that feels to you on that particular day. Is it still a day where something just doesn't feel right, or are you kind of past that part and you're able to kind of cast your care on the Lord and just kind of move through it?
Well, certainly, you know, God is there, and I thank him for my sister on that day and every mm-hmm. other day. But it was interesting yesterday, because so many people responded to me on Facebook, mm-hmm. and I was telling someone, I said, you know, I almost feel selfish mentioning Sue, because everybody has lost someone mm-hmm. that they love. Mm-hmm. And I think losing Sue, or losing any other victims in 9/11, it's more like we all lost.
Yes.
We lost not just Sue, but we all lost something. And it was hope in the country, or it was a feeling of security or something else. And again, you know, God is there. And hopefully he's, you know, going to continue to be there, because mm-hmm. the world is in really bad shape right now, too. And, you know, it's just the idea that we all lost on that day. But because of God, we all have hope, and we all have faith mm-hmm. that, you know, of better times to come. So I went to the fire station yesterday, because they were having mm-hmm. the ceremony. And Chief Warner had said, I tried to get you and your email kept bouncing back, because he had my old email address from when I was at Burley Middle School. And he said, Providence must have brought you here. And I just said, well, I felt like I needed to be there because my dad had been a volunteer fireman. And, you know, I just needed to support those people and say thank you. And as I told people when I was interviewed, I said, God has a plan. And, you know, I mean, I think it's very important that we are grateful to these people who serve our country. Mm-hmm. We are grateful to these first responders. We have been given so many gifts by God that we need to take events like 9/11 and learn about who we are and try to be better people, for sure.
Yes. And I think that's, again, some more great wisdom from Barbara Pemberton. As you know, you're dealing with faith and 9/11. It certainly is a time for reflection. It's a time for remembering, but it's also a time where you've shown us how to do this, Barbara. How you can let go of the fear, and you can walk out and live out your day. And really, the Lord encourages us to be a shining light to the Lord, and that ultimately brings the Lord glory. And so, Barbara, again, I want to thank you for being on this program, for sharing your faith journey, and also allowing us to remember your awesome sister, Sue Sauer. Have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week.